All right, so open up your Bibles to Genesis 24. And I forgot to mention that Genesis 24 is the longest chapter in Genesis. So we're not going to get through it this evening. We got maybe another one or two times, depending on where the Spirit leads us. But last week, we talked about a servant's heart. And we looked at this servant whose name wasn't mentioned, and it was possible that it was the original servant that was spoken of in Genesis 15, I think it was, Eleazar. He was still living. There were long livers back then, and we know that he was the oldest and most trusted servant that Abraham would have sent. So it's more than likely possible. He had a servant's heart. He interceded for his master, and we looked at what it meant to have a servant's heart and how we applied it to us. The servant's name isn't mentioned, but as a servant, you are in the background. We are serving our master. We need to understand God. He did the same thing. He wanted to understand what not only he knew what his master's will is, but he prayed and interceded for his master and said, please let my venture prosper for the sake of my master. What is your will? I'm bringing this to you. And if this is your will, do it as I say. So he had a servant's heart in that. He's willing to suffer because the journey was anywhere between 25 to 40 days going across the desert, which is around 500 miles. And that's one way. So you're looking at either 50 days both ways or 80 days, depending on how long they stop. He trusted in God's will because he was part of seeing what happened to Abraham. So he knew that the God Abraham serves was a strong and powerful God who kept his word. And in the end, a servant, a faithful servant, serves or shares Christ. We're going to see how he also shows and speaks about his master's God, as we should do as well. And we talked about that. It's not easy, and that's why I keep bringing this up. This makes it as easy as possible that we can think of. And again, you can learn a lot from there. You can go on the videos, you know, when you're in the bed and you got your phone, use it for something good. Look at this and see what you can learn from there. But we're picking it up in verse 15 on chapter 24. And this is after he was staying down next to the well, and he's about to ask her for a drink. Verse 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking. Remember, he was praying to the Lord. That behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. So it's interesting to think about the name Rebekah. And if you were to say it properly, it'd be it's more like Revka, or Revka is how you say her name. There's such a difference in translation or the way a person says it. Her name means ensnare or to ensnare. Now that's an odd name to give a woman who's going to be part of the Messiah's line and who seems to be a very good girl. But the context or the meaning of this is she ensnares people with her beauty. And how do you know this? When you read the Bible, it says in verse 16 that she was very beautiful to behold. Man, she's ensnaring me. It implies a rope with a noose on there and it's taking you. So that's how beautiful she was when you're looking at what her name is. And generally, when you hear names in the Bible, they name their children for characteristics or things they do or don't do. It could have been that when she was a baby, she was beautiful, or this maybe could have been her nickname or a name they gave to her when she was older. Certain customs, mine's as well, they give you two names. You have your name when you're born, and then you have a name when you're mature. My name in my culture is Milano. My name that you guys know is David. So see the difference in that. There's different names, and it's possible that this is her name that she got as she was matured. So he was praying, and that speaks into something. Going back to Daniel, when we pray, should we not expect the Lord to hear us? We should. This servant wasn't sure. He was speaking to the Lord. And remember what Abraham said. The angel will go before you. Don't worry about it. But he wasn't sure. He wanted to do the best he can. And when you want to do the best you can for the Lord, you can get nervous. My sister wouldn't mind sharing this word. So I was talking to my sister earlier, and she was telling me how the biggest fear she has, the biggest thing that bothers her is she's concerned if she's doing the will of God. She's so frightened that she's not doing it, or it gets her nervous. And I said, well, that alone tells you that it's okay. You're doing all right. But you don't want to get to the point where you're so terrified or nervous that you're doing the will of God that you're actually not doing the will of God, because you're allowing the fear. We walk by faith, not by sight. We know the Holy Spirit. He knew his master. He stepped out in faith. But there's still something there where he's like, okay, Lord, I want to talk to you myself. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't be fearful to give out one of these. Boy, this thing is coming up a lot today. Because realistically, and we were talking earlier, it is really difficult to give one of these cards out. But once you break that mold and you give one, two, or three out, you'll find yourself just being, hey, there you go. Hey, you, take this. You don't want to be that way, but it can happen. It really can. You have to take the first step to do it, and then you go through it. So there's our faith even in these little things, right? It's simple. And I'm trying to say that over and over again. And next week, I know you did. It was in her mind. She said, oh, man, I didn't give a card. So I'm waiting next week to see who else would say, I tried and I forgot. But that's one step closer to giving out a card or evangelizing. All right, back to it. So he was asking and he, oh, wait, where was I? Yes, her name was still, it was ensnared. And she was very beautiful. Verse 17, I think we're at. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. Now, when you're looking at the word here, ran, you in your mind, you might see him going, can I have some water? Well, that's not what it was, because remember, he positioned himself or his camels right next to the well. And he took a step back. And who did he see come out first? It was Rebecca. Remember, God is doing this. So at the time, she was either the first woman, young woman who was there, or was the first young woman who he saw and said, she is beautiful. She is worth bringing to my master. Let me try to see who she is. We're not sure, and the Bible doesn't tell us, but it seems like it may have been possible she was there early to get her work over with. But he was there. He was by the well. What it means here, he moved quickly to position himself to meet her. So imagine, she got her water, and he's stepping back and looking at her. She takes it. And he positions himself to say, can you give me a drink? Verse 18. So she said, drink, my Lord. First thing you see with Rebecca is respect. She calls him Lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. Now here the word is said, her hand. Did she give him drink from the hand? Sometimes that happens. There's a Middle Eastern custom that you do not allow your left hand to touch your right hand because you're eating. The left hand is for wiping your backside and doing all that gross stuff because they don't use toilet paper. They use water, they use sand, and they clean themselves with that. But back then, that we don't know if that tradition was there. This is a generally new custom as far as we understand. Hey, it's the truth. No. They're left-handed. You know, left-handed people have issues. Don't ever go to the Middle East. You'll be in trouble and you'll offend. But that's a custom they do. Why is that? Because the Bible and the Quran talks about the right hand of God, the right hand of fellowship, even in the New Testament. And everything is about the right. But we're not sure if she actually put the pitcher down and gave him out of her hand, which can be a custom as well, because when you're going to get the water, you're not going to have something to scoop it out. She's going to get the water for the evening. So we're not sure if she did. And what would that show also if she did give it by her hand? It would again show humility, the heart that she has when she's doing that for him. And she called him Lord. So verse 19. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And again, running, she just made haste. Because you're going to see, pitchers are about like this big or so. And you know how they could put them on their shoulders. So she ran, and she even got for the camels. 21, and the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord made his journey prosperous or not. So here's this servant who had a servant's heart. He waited. He asked the Lord. He sees things happening, and he's waiting on God. What is he doing to her right now? Well, he's testing her character. Will she pass the test? And that's what he's checking right now. He asks God to prosper his way. Let it be that this woman who I go to not only gives me a drink, but wants to water my camels as well. Will she pass the test? And now the question is, will you pass the test? God, we know, tests us in different ways. But what is it for? Is it to destroy us, or is it to lift us up and show our true character inside if we know him? And that's generally what it is. It's a testing, not only to prove to ourselves, like I was talking earlier, my sister's concerned, she's worried, but that shows something in her heart. But it shows other people as well. So he's testing her to see if she is worthy of his master's son. Sometimes we would do that, right? We have to test our friendships. We test people that we may know to see if they are worthy in the sense of our trust. And that's what he's looking at. She's doing good so far. And what did she say? I will draw water for you. And she didn't just say, I will draw water for you and your camel. She also said, until they have finished drinking. That's going a step further. Camels can drink up to 20 gallons of water a day. That's how much they need. That's a crazy amount. Now, there was 10 camels. Did she really do, what is that, 20, 40, 60, 80? That's 200 gallons of water. I don't think she gave 200 gallons of water, but she put enough to ensure that the camels are satisfied. Here is a person also who was aware of her surroundings, aware of not only the person she was serving, but the people or the camels themselves that were there to take care of them. Now, here's another aspect of Rebecca that is good. She's not self-centered. She took it a step further. And where would Jesus tell us this? Matthew 5. If anyone forces you, and that is right, forces you, or compels you to go 1 mile, what does Jesus say? Go two. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from those who want something from you. That's what Matthew tells us. So she's passing a test. She went further than she needed to go. It's not easy going back and forth. It goes back to us. Have we ever been tested, or right now are we testing, being tested, to show grace, to go further than we thought possible for someone else, or even in our own lives, whatever the case may be? Are we passing the test? Are we giving more than we think we can? And giving isn't always finances. You know, it really is easy to give finances. Last week I talked about, you know, the mission, Voice of the Martyrs. Oh, giving. Is it easier to give money or your time and your energy? Yes, it is easier to give money. Sometimes I find myself saying, why can't you just ask me for money? But we are all servants, and we have to have a servant's heart. And even though we battle inside, she may have battled inside, she did what was right. Her character is being shown. And he's watching her. Little by little, she's being tested, but she's passing it. Camels. Those jugs were made out of clay. They're pretty heavy. You know, they didn't have like plastic back then where you can fill it in and it's light. You're talking about jugs of clay pots, and she's running back and forth. Let's say if she was here and the well is over there. That's pretty far. Doing it 10 times. What does that say about who Rebecca is? And he's watching all this. And what does that say?
She's an athlete.
She is an athlete. You know, you bring that up, but people, men and women, were so much stronger than we are right now. They had core strength that we couldn't imagine. How do you see right now? You see women carrying humongous loads on their head and their necks aren't crushed. I would break apart. And she was an athlete. But what does that tell you? It tells you that here's a servant of God, because he must be worshiping the same God his master is. He had to be part of the circumcision. Everyone in Abraham's house had to be circumcised. Here is a Christian, let's say, watching someone else who may or may not be Christian. And you never know who's watching us. God could send someone to us to watch us. Remember, the Bible says you never know when you're entertaining angels. And sometimes people could come to us in a form of a devil. But we don't know if God is saying, go the extra mile. Just like Rebecca is doing. Oh, you know what? You're treating me bad, but I'm going to hold my peace. And try to figure out, like Rebecca did, this guy wants water, but he doesn't only want water. Look at his camels. They're thirsty. She was aware. When we see someone who's angry or hurting or treating us in a wrong way, 9 times out of 10, it's some other thing that's doing that. And we're called to understand that person, right? And say, what is wrong with this person? Hey, brother or sister or stranger, what's wrong? That de-escalates a lot. Just you going like this, because you're using your body language, what's wrong? But we're to be aware of our surroundings, just as she is. If we want to pass the test, we are on our guard. Now, we may say, okay, I'm on my guard, and I'm not feeling like a real Christian or not, but we practice, again, righteousness, and you do that. Now, these things, if they were easy to do, we would be doing them all the time, right? Do we do it all the time? Can people pass by us, or someone may look at us wrong, or I have a big problem with customer service. Big problem, because I was in customer service. And when someone is in customer service and they're not doing their job right and they're rude, my first instinct wants to be to just tear them apart and show them how ridiculous they are. But that's not right, right? Really, it's true. Because I'm like, I would be like, how dare you? What's wrong with you? And I would want to go there to their face and just demean them and say, excuse me, and make them feel bad because you're taking it personal. Or you're like, you shouldn't be this way. Get out of the job. And I've done that before. And if I don't watch myself, I can do it again. And then the Holy Spirit will convict me. But we have to be like also Rebecca. Whether we are in season or out of season, be prepared, the Bible tells us. And don't let your flesh rise. And why does the flesh rise? Why would our flesh rise? Are we spending time enough with our Savior? And it's the truth, and we can't deny it. Are we reading, listening, watching, talking, hanging, and everything else that we do around godly stuff or ungodly stuff? Because it affects us. So what we take in will just come back out on someone else sometimes. And here's Rebecca. Her heart is good. She's young. She cares for people. She goes the extra mile. And she's so far doing good. Up to 20 gallons at least. At least maybe one camel was like, man, I'm really thirsty. Ah, fine, I'll do it. But you don't hear anything of her complaining. It's almost like she had a joy of doing this. Maybe it's because it was out of her rut and she's like, man, I don't have to go home soon. But regardless of it, she went the extra mile. She had some type of joy in her. You have to have some type of joy in you to do what this girl is doing. And she was young. And generally when you're young, you have a lot of hope, right? Depending on your upbringing, depending on what you have. And you want to do things. But as life gets in the way, it sucks it all out of you. Bad things happen and you're just like, oh, you're sucking the life out of me. But again, when we're in Christ, he's supposed to restore us daily. And if we're not getting restored daily, whose fault is it? The Lord's fault or us? Are we going to him to be restored? And are we ready to pour out 20 gallons of water for thirsty camels if that comes to us? And what would be that translating? We're driving down the road. There's someone pushing a car. Should I pull over? Should I not? I guess I got to help this person or not. But there's the test in our lives. Should I pull over? And you know, I'm aware when I do things and I go around and I may see someone or try to help someone, I don't want to pull over at times. But I'm like, I have to, because this is the test, this is the battle. Who knows? And a lot of times when I stop, people don't want help. And my mind could say, you ungrateful. But no, no. I passed the test. Do you get what I'm saying? Exactly. Don't forget to give them the card. And it reminds me of a time when it was late at night. I don't know what time it was, 9 or something like that. And there was this guy in a wheelchair. And he was an older guy. He was cold. And I saw him. He was on the side of the road. Did I tell this story before?
No.
I don't know what I say here anymore. But here's a guy on the side of the road, and I'm driving going home. And I'm like, oh, man. I got to turn around. And I parked, and I went on the street, and I said, hey, are you okay? He's in a wheelchair. And I'm like looking at this guy, and it's cold. This is in the wintertime. So I'm like, here, I took him in the wheelchair, and here I am on the street. Cars are passing by. And part of me first is like, this man needs help. The other part is, nah. So I'm doing it. I'm bringing him over. And I say, what's wrong? So I'm talking to him, looking at him. And I see he has a beer. And I'm like, here we go. So he's like, man, I'm cold. I say, you cold? Yeah. So then I call Siobhan. And I say, hey, can you bring a blanket or bring two blankets or whatever? So I'm asking him questions. Where are you? Where are you from? And I'm like, Lord, what do I do? There's the test again. What do I do? Do I go an extra mile and get him a room? Do I bring him in my home? I don't want to do these things, Lord. Seriously, you don't. Here is someone who smells, who is extremely dirty, and I don't know what he has. And I'm like, do I bring him in? I don't want to. And I'm like, you know what, Lord? For the purpose of me not wanting to, you who touched leopards, Jesus, who am I to say no? Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I don't know how my wife is going to feel, but whatever you want, God, I'm willing to do what you want. I don't want to, though, because I don't know what blessing this will give me. That's what we have to remember. And that sounds selfish, but no, let the Lord bless us. So here I was and looking at him. Then I see he has a band from a hospital. I call 911. Hey, there's this guy out here. He's cold. I get him a blanket. She gets him a blanket. I see he's drinking a beer. And I'm like, you know what? You shouldn't be doing that. The paramedics are coming, and they're going to take you to either the hospital. I was trying to call up to find rooms for him, too. I was like, whatever. I'd rather spend money and you know, put him away and go. I was like, I don't know, Lord. Last resort, he'll go to my house. So I didn't know what to do, so I said the thought, call the paramedics. Because here's a guy who's cold. I don't know what it is. I see this on his arm. They said, who is he? Whatever. They come over. Guess what? He just came out of the hospital. Next thing you know, he has AIDS. And there's issues with him. So I know when I see this, because I've done this before, that there's only a certain amount of help you can do with someone, and we don't know what the Lord may want us to do. So what did I do? I said, do you know Jesus? Do you understand where your life is? Look at where you are. And then he's crying a little bit. My family, I came here, I have no one. I said, yes. How did you get this way? Do you know Jesus? Do you know he died for you? Do you know he can deliver you from this? Either in this life or the next. Look at where you are. I didn't know what to do for him other than that. And he said, no. I said, well, let's pray. Do you understand? And I went through the gospel. I said, he died for you. He can change your life, whatever. So I said, do you believe this? Do you understand what you need? Do you see where you are right now? You can die tomorrow. And no one's going to be there for you. So we prayed. And I said, do you accept Christ? And he prays on his own a little bit, and we prayed. And I don't know what happened afterwards. I don't know if that was the test. I knew that's all I can offer him, and that's the best thing you can offer. It's a communication to the Lord. So I would say on that one, maybe I passed the test, and I didn't have to bring him to my house. Now, I felt a little guilty afterwards because I'm like, I didn't want to bring him there. So they took him, and they let me know, yeah, he either comes back or he's going to go. And there's a big community of people who live underneath the water wells and all that. I forgot, it's called like a hidden city or something. So, yeah, the washes. So here it is again, passing tests. We never know what the Lord will throw at us. We never know. I was going to, this is my last one, going to Pahrump a couple years ago. And as I'm driving, as I'm passing by, there's a car on fire. And I'm like, oh, man. So I go, you have to go a certain amount and come back around. So I go, I stop. I'm like, where are the people? You get off. They're okay. They don't need help. They go away. And we're like, okay, stay away. Next thing you know, the car's getting bigger. Here comes the ambulance, fire department. Next thing you know, I'm stuck there for 30 minutes because they won't let you cross because it can explode. But you never know. Right there, I was like, oh, man, I just wasted time. But there have been times when I'm not, and the Lord comes and brings someone to me. And there it is, a meeting, a divine appointment. We should look at all of these as divine appointments. Rebecca may or may have not known, but she was open. There was something in her that was open to God. And we're going to see, if we ever get there, that they knew about the God of Abraham. It's true. So she did. She was passing the test. And she went further than she needed to go. She went the extra mile. Her character is being proved. She had a servant's heart. Verse 22. So it was when the camel had finished drinking, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold. Half a shekel is around 6 grams. Today's economy is around $400. Now those bracelets are something else. You're looking around $7,000 is what he gave to her. Now, when you're looking at a nose ring, even now in certain cultures and in the Indian culture, you see them with nose rings, small ones in there. That signifies someone who is married or at the age of getting married. These are looked upon more as gifts for what she did. In his mind already, this servant is saying, look at this girl. She's beautiful to behold. Her character is one of the best. She would be a great asset to my Lord's son. She looks and fits the part in every way. Let me give her these gifts and ask her a next question. He gives Rebecca some gifts and he says, so far, so good. Could she be the one? Imagine what he was feeling. After praying, this woman comes out. There was probably anxiety inside of him. Put yourself in a position like that. God calls you on a mission and you're hoping it's prosperous. You're in this portion and you see this person. Could it be the one? He gives her the gifts and he goes forward in his testing. Verse 23. And he said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. So here it is, one last test. Whose family is she? She passed everything, but I won't know for sure if the Lord truly prospered me or if this is the one until I know whose family she is. And he got the answer. And that again shows you that his heart was going to wait and make sure that this was God's hand. He didn't jump to conclusions. He wanted to make sure. You know how we can, I remember telling a story about this, when there was this couple who needed money, and this was on Judge Judy or Judge Miliano, one of those. So the case comes in, these two couple come in and they say, they believe that God gave them the money because they prayed for it and it was in the mail. You know how that guy talks? But this guy says it was a mistake, he overcharged him. Is it the righteous fire or whatever the guy says? The windup is they didn't wait and they lost the case because it was a mistake. How many times in our lives do we think it's the Lord's leading, but we make the mistake and not wait? Especially when we ask God, Father, can you show me in this way? I would like you to answer me like this with this fleece. Well, wait a second. This one way isn't. Let me try go further because I don't want to make a mistake. Now, God knows our heart. He knows if we're doing it to honor him. Again, my sister, I don't want to do something that isn't of the Lord. So we can go to extremes and ask, can you make rain, Lord, come down and turn around and go back up? I'm not moving until you do that. Now that sounds, do not test the Lord your God or tempt him. No. I've asked and I told you the story how I got here. I am not being a minister unless you do this, this, and this exactly. And it was exactly. Why? Because I know what the Bible says. Not many should be teachers. I'm like, I ain't getting into something, Lord, that I'm going to destroy people. I'm going to lead them astray. And I'm thankful that I still have that fear, because up here I know I make mistakes. But I said, Lord, you'll give me the strength to do it. You know my heart. I'm not going to walk by fear. I'm just going to do it. And again, like I said, if I say something wrong, then it falls on you. See the finger? I'm going to do it like this. So they're all pointing on you. Yeah, none are pointing back at me because I did my part. I did. I told you guys if there's something I'm saying or doing, and I'm going to go to you guys on TV as well. I can't leave you guys out. Because there it is. We go back and forth. And that's healthy. And we should be able to do what the servant has done. Ask specifically because he wants to honor God and his master. And do it. One last test. It looks like God is prospering it, but is this Abraham's family? And what happens? Jackpot. Verse 26. Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Could you imagine? Abraham's servant, come on down. He's jumping in. He's like, he did it. He won. Imagine the joy he felt. Imagine when you go to God and you ask for something and you see it happening and you hear the answer and you feel it. It's so amazing when God is so real like that in your life. But it won't happen unless you dare to ask. You have to ask. Ask, seek, and knock. But he bowed down because this was amazing. The feeling he must have felt, the feeling we should feel when we go out there and pass a test, no matter what side we're on. We're the one asking for the test or Rebecca. And you're going to see what she does. But he bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. In verse 27, he said, and he said, blessed be the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy, and some say his loving kindness or his tender loving mercy to him, and his truth towards my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Imagine his excitement. He's saying, God is so good to my master. As I was going, he led me here. I didn't have to worry. What my master said was true. The angel of the Lord did go before me. Wow, what a great day this is. I cannot believe I'm part of this. What a joy it is to be in the camp of my master, to know this one true God. And imagine what this servant felt. He was probably elated. That's how we should feel, no matter what side we're on. So he's doing all this, and he's saying, you're so good. I've never met a God like you. I'm glad I'm part of all this. And he bows. And what does Rebecca do? So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now, I'm pretty sure this time she did run. Because here you go, hearing all this stuff, and you're just doing your thing, being who you are, being real, wanting to help others, going the extra mile, having hope and love and joy. You pass the test. And you see this guy giving you bracelets, and you're like, what's going on? Why are you giving me this? She didn't know she was going to get this. She was just trying to help out. And then this guy goes down and says, oh my goodness. He goes down and she's like, what? What is happening here? I got to go tell. Imagine her running because she is an athlete. So you know she got there quick. So she goes and tells her mother's household. Now it's interesting because in verse 28, it says her mother's household, these things. We're going to read on further on that the husband is still alive, but yet what does that mean, the husband, the mother's household? Is there two separate houses? It's possible that there are two separate houses. There's one for the first wife, the second wife. If they have a lot of money, it can happen. And she's going directly to her mother because generally when you look at the men at these times, they had multiple wives. It was common for the children to be closer to the mother than they are to the father. For the exception of Isaac, of course. Verse 29. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to meet the man by the well. So there's an introduction. We're going to, because it seems like it's repeating itself in a certain way. But they're just saying, hey, this guy's name is Laban. And I'm sort of telling you this because his name's going to come in later on. So keep, watch out for this guy. And he's going to meet this man. Verse 30. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. So it starts in 29, giving us an understanding that he's going to run. Why is he going to run? Well, it tells us. He looked at this expensive gifts and saying, what? This isn't a cha-ching. This guy's from Vegas, baby. And he said all these things, and his family, man, I got to go check this out. Who's this rich person? We're related. So he wants to know, of course, his curiosity. But this also tells you a little bit about his character, doesn't it? Because we're going to find out his character in the chapters to come. The Bible is leading us up to something. It wants us to know. That's why this unusual verse 29 is there. Who ran? He ran, he went, he wanted to check it out. But he noticed the expensive gifts and, of course, what was said. Verse 31, and he said, come in, because he's standing right there next to him, and he sees this man, he sees the caravan, he sees probably they're well-dressed, and he has a lot of, I don't know, bags and stuff, and he's like, wow, this is looking nice. So he says, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared a house and a place for the camels. So again, remember that when we're reading the scripture, time is like this. Remember when I took a step before when he was walking, when his servant went? Here's what's happening here. Yes, he heard all these things, but he said, oh man, this is something special. Quick, let me prepare everything. Was it he himself who prepared it, or was it his servants? Well, of course, it was his servants. So he took a ran, and he went and said, come on, everything is ready. Verse 32. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and fee for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told you about my errand. And he said, speak on. It's customary when you have a discussion or you're going to discuss business, whatever the reason is at your house, you would first eat. And then afterwards, you discuss everything. But here, the servant is doing this for a reason. And he's setting up everything. He wants them to understand something specifically before they even get down and to enjoy a meal, because that is extremely personal. Remember that. Verse 34. Here you're going to see what's very important on how he breaks this down. Here is the faithful servant sharing Jesus. He's giving his testimony. And I talked earlier about how a faithful servant will give a testimony. And he's going to do this. And we're going to find out this testimony next week. I think that's enough, because if I give you this, I'm gonna end up right in the middle, and then it's gonna be one of those. So next week we're gonna look at the testimony of this faithful servant. So far we looked at Rebecca, and what we take away from this is passing the test. Will you pass the test as Rebecca did? She didn't know she was being tested, but it was her light in her, the character that showed through her, that this servant saw this must be the woman. And it was. Why? Because of the angel of the Lord saw her, knew her heart, somehow told her, go a little bit early, or stand over here, or take this jar. If you're in communication with God, and if your nature inside, your character is aligned with God, you won't have to worry. You trust in the Lord. You acknowledge him. He leads your path. And you shouldn't have any anxiety. My sister is the same way. I told her, you shouldn't have anxiety. None of us should. I do my best to give myself grace. And I say this to a lot of people. A lot of people I counsel, depending on what their issues are. You have to learn to extend yourself grace. Because if you don't have grace on yourself, you can't give grace. And you'll be basically religious to a certain degree. Because you can only give what you have inside. Rebecca gave her heart. Her character was good, and God knew that. And that's what we need to do to practice that. Will we pass the test on whatever comes to us? Will we go the extra mile when our flesh says don't? And that's generally when we should. Will we pull away, or will we move forward and say, I will do this, Lord? So make sure you pass the test. not only with this simple one, but whatever the day brings, because we never know where God will lead us. If he's with us, and if we are Christians, we will pass the test. Just there to go out there and remember that you never know who's watching. So our lives are to glorify God just as Rebecca did, but she didn't know it. It was natural to her, and it should be natural to us. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your word again and showing us that we can pass the test. And Rebecca is a good example, Lord. You led this servant to meet her. You prepare the way. And that's also in our lives. We should not be fearful of anything because you are for us. And you are with us. And help us, Father, to extend grace to ourselves, to understand it in the proper way, so we can give to others. Pour into us everything you want, Lord. Help us to empty ourselves so we can serve you better, just as the servant did, and even Rebecca, who is your servant, and she didn't know it. But we thank you, Father, for your goodness, and I thank you that you do go before us. And I'm asking for a blessing everyone here and everyone watching online, that you would count us worthy, Lord, to even suffer for your name, and that we would pass the test that you put before us. Help us to be mindful of you in our lives and to move forward with you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.